Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to be part of your day and to be able to hang out with you and share some ideas with you and introduce you to some really smart people like our good friend Rich Galen, who's with us right now. Rich, as you know, is a political operative, political commentator, publisher, writer, chief executive and executive editor and cost accountant at Mullings.com, the thrice-weekly cyber column that I encourage you to check out. And he is of the Republican persuasion. Rich Galen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, my friend. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you back. Okay, Rich, I'm not going to say that in our lifetime that we've never had a day as momentous as yesterday or one that spun our heads around as much as yesterday. But clearly, isn't this one of those days where you remember where you were when you found out how Justice Roberts ruled on Obamacare?
Yeah, both times, both when the networks got it wrong, and then 14 minutes later when they actually read the first five pages and got it right.
Right.
It was a big deal. I've been around Washington a long time, since about 1977, you know, off and on, mostly on, and I can't remember. We didn't live in Washington for Watergate. So that was before my time here. But absent that, I can't remember any occasion where the three branches of government have been aiming like two freight trains.
Yeah,
aiming at a collision point yesterday morning at 10 o'clock. It was it.
It came together, and the world was holding its breath, or the country certainly was holding its breath. I certainly was. When I heard what happened, and I'm going to let you tell us about that in a minute. I have to say, and I said this to you off the air, the only thing I could think of was gobsmacked. You know, I was just gobsmacked by what I heard. And so tell the audience, I mean, I think everybody knows what happened. I really am loath to say that Obamacare was deemed constitutional, because that's not really accurate to say it in that broad sense, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, in fact, even Chief Justice Roberts said that using the Commerce Clause, which the other liberals on the court were perfectly happy to do, the Commerce Clause is one of the there are 18 what are called enumerated powers in the Constitution, and the authority to conduct commerce, interstate commerce, commerce with foreign nations, and as the Constitution says, with the Indian tribes, lies solely with the Congress, and they tried to use the Commerce Clause as their rule for them. Let me give you the example. Way back when, remember when it was deemed necessary to lower the national speed limit to 55 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Remember that? But it turned out Congress didn't have the power to do that. Yeah, they couldn't. Congress couldn't tell Alabama what its speed limit would be. So they didn't try to do that. But what they did do was they said, if you don't lower your speed limit to 55 miles an hour, you cannot get federal highway funds. And the state said, well, we get this joke. Okay, fine. Now, if we were private citizens, we'd go to jail for coercion. But members of Congress said. And they knew the Commerce Clause didn't extend that far. But what the Chief Justice said was, it's lost in the blur of activity that the Solicitor General, who argues cases for the title of the person that argues cases for the government before the Supreme Court is a guy called the Solicitor General. Ted Olson is the one we probably know best.
Mm-hmm.
He did argue that if the court didn't like the Commerce Clause as the reason for the mandate, that they could fall back on the Congress's taxing power, which, again, going back to those enumerated powers, happens to be enumerated power number one.
And folks, the thing, and Rich and I are assuming really that you guys are right along with us here. The main thing to remember is this is all about the individual mandate. Does the government have the right to tell an individual citizen require them to buy a product. And as long as it was a penalty, if the government said, we want you to buy this product, and if you don't, we're going to penalize you and with financially, as long as they called it a penalty, that comes under the Commerce Clause, and that's what Rich was just talking about. If it's a tax, the government, the Commerce Clause limits the ability of the government to penalize you under the Commerce Clause, but they don't, but it does allow the government to tax you.
Right.
And that's what Robert said, right? He said,
That's right. And this is the kind of how many angels you can put on the head of a pin right. that Supreme Courts have to deal with, 50
And
50
so times. What Robert said was, I've decided that it's not a penalty, it is a tax, even though the government didn't make that case except at the last in the arguments, and therefore I'm going to give you the right to I'm going to make it constitutional. We're going to make it constitutional because it's now a tax, not a penalty. I know that sounds in the weeds, folks, but there's a lot of precedent here, and we'll talk about this after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.